Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does
Barack Obama nor I support redefining the Constitution.
Our limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my decision.
Smoke could be seen for blocks away. And protesters hurled trash cans and flashbombs at Washington. The bill is working intense partisan fighting.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bob and Weave. This is episode number 30. Hope you guys enjoyed the bonus vasectomy roundtable episode last week.
I forgot how funny that one was. I mean, I listened to it myself. Uh-huh. Like, man, that was a good time. It was really funny.
I listened to it on my run this morning through the first like 30 minutes. And yeah, I was chuckling quite a bit.
Yeah, man, that was a good time. There's some stuff in there that I forgot how funny it was, especially when you're explaining, you know, like you said, that once it's done, you gain an inch, and you caught us on that one.
And you guys believed me.
Yeah. Right. Caught me. Caught me hard.
Yeah. So, as you guys know, I am Bob Ruff, Bob, and that gentleman sitting right over there, just right across the table from me, is Zach Weaver, the Weave.
That's me.
And this week, we're going to talk about some stuff.
Some stuff.
Some kind of rebuilding stuff as far as, you know, in the wake of George Floyd's death and the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement, and you know, there's autonomous zones going up, you know, in Seattle, and they're trying to get them in Washington D.C. And there's we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got Bubba Wallace, the NASCAR driver, who was
which is a very interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say.
Yep. Speaking of story, the other thing we want to talk about is some. You know, what's going on with probably the focus is some of the monuments and statues that are being torn down around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of a free for all about some of that stuff. But before we do that, I've been promising Zach that I will tell him and all of you the story as to why I now have an old man truck.
Yeah. So before we start that story, I just want to back up. And Bob is texting me yesterday out of the blue, starts talking about that the adjuster's here and they looked at my door and it's going to be totaled. Mind you, I have no fucking idea what he is talking about. Right. I don't even know where that came from. I was just like, what? And you're like, oh, you don't know? I'll tell you later.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to wait until you hear.
Well, I'm excited to hear this story.
And so it was extra.
I'll tell you what, after all this better be a damn good story.
I hope I can produce. But what's funny about that situation with the texting is what you did know is that we're refinancing our house and we had an appraiser coming.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you thought when I said adjuster that I meant appraiser.
Yeah.
Like they totaled your house?
Yeah. I was so confused. They're like, I checked the door and they totaled it.
Yeah.
What did you do to your door at your house?
Okay. So here's the story. Last Wednesday, 1 week ago today, after work, I decided I'm going to go listen. Becky wasn't feeling well. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to grab my headphones and get some podcasts going on my phone. I'm going to take my little fishing boat and go out to Dayton Lake and do some fishing.
Oh, I saw you posted that you went fishing.
Yeah. So
that part was mildly successful then. You made it there.
Yeah. And I came home with a limited bluegill in just a couple hours.
Nice.
So when you're launching a boat by yourself, it can be a little tricky because, you know, normally it's a two-person operation. The way I normally do it, like when my son's with me, is I've got a rope that attaches to the front of the boat. He stands outside holding the rope. I back the boat into the water, hit the brakes kind of real quick, mm-hmm. and the boat floats off, pull the truck up. He holds the boat, pulls it up to shore and or to the dock, depending where we're at, and then we get on the boat and go. I was by myself, so I have this method where I take that same rope and I put it into the bed of my truck, and I just kind of loop it around the there's like a tie-down thing in there.
Oh, yeah, your truck's got anchors. Yours is all fancy.
Yeah, but it's not completely secure. Like, if it gets knocked around sideways, it'll fall off. So what I do when I'm by myself is I back out and then I hit the brakes when the trailer comes, boat starts to come off the trailer, put it in drive and I pull up so it's completely off the trailer and then I real quick jump out and grab the rope. So and then pull it onto shore, tie it off, and then go park my truck. And done this 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And you ever see one of those videos where someone is launching their boat and they back their truck all the way into the lake and it sinks into the lake?
Mm-hmm.
That was almost me on Wednesday. Real fucking close.
How did you manage that?
I pull back and I let the boat off the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I normally do, put it in drive, pull up. And so the boat's completely off, pull the truck up onto the ramp. And then again, I want to jump out and grab that rope to make sure my boat doesn't float away. Throw the truck up into park, jump out of the truck, close the door, at which point my truck starts speeding back down the ramp towards the water. Now, it gets worse.
Oh, no.
Now, I thought at the time, thanks to my quick decisions and my cat-like reflexes, I kept my boat from sinking. So I immediately starts going, and I'm like, what the fuck? And so I dart after it,
mm-hmm.
and I whip the door open, and I see that when I had shifted from drive up into park, one of two things happened. Either I just didn't make it all the way to park and dropped it into reverse,
mm-hmm.
or it popped back out of park into reverse. Something somehow or another, it wasn't just in neutral, it was in reverse.
So it had power.
Power going back into the lake. So I whip the door open, I dive, I scrape my knee and my leg, and I dive in, and I throw it in park. Well, what I didn't know is when you have a moving vehicle and you throw it into park, it doesn't just stop.
Yeah.
Like the gears have to slowly, you hear it go clickety clackety clickety clackety clickety clackety.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still going back. I'm half in, half out of the truck. And now, like, my legs are scraping on the ground. Now I'm crawling up into the truck. I'm in water now. So the front tires of my truck are in the water.
Okay.
The whole back of the truck is in the water. And if anybody's ever launched a boat, you know that the way those launches work is like right after you get to the point where you launch your boat, they drop down. So the boat will come off the trailer. So it has dropped down. The only reason my truck isn't at the bottom of it is it's still floating a bit because of the tires, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I dive into my truck now. I climb my way back into it. And at this point, water's coming in. The back floor of the truck is in water. And I can feel water. I'm barefoot. I can feel water on my feet at the pedals.
Holy cow.
So it's in park now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sinking. Yeah. Like the what's happening is the bed of my truck is filling with water.
Yeah.
And so I'm starting to sink. And so I throw it in drive and hit the gas and brrr, also my exhaust is underwater. I have to keep pressure on the gas. Otherwise, if the water goes up the exhaust pipe, I'm screwed. So I'm blowing bubbles. Nothing's happening. And it occurs to me, nothing's happening because my rear tires they're not touching anything.
Oh.
And it's sinking. Now, as I'm realizing this, the water in the front is up to my shins.
Oh.
So I'm like, fuck, 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 fuck. I was like, four-wheel drive. The front tires are on the ground.
Uh-huh.
They're in the water, but they're only in a foot of water. So, or 2 feet of water, as it turned out, because I shift into four-wheel drive, and on my truck, when you shift to four-wheel drive, that's a process, too.
Mm-hmm.
Shifting into four-wheel drive, tick, 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 which normally seems pretty quick, but when your truck is sinking,
oh my God,
it seems like a lot longer. And so, and also, the engine's revving, mm-hmm. so it's got to let the, so I've got to let it idle down for it to shift. And so now I'm just sitting there just like a fish in a barrel, waiting for my truck to sink as I'm waiting and I'm watching, and finally it goes dink, four-wheel drive, and I hammer the gas and I start, I can feel the front tires are trying to grab, but the rear tires are still not on the bottom of the lake yet.
Yeah.
But at this point, the bed is completely, shit's floating out of the bed of my truck. My bed's underwater.
My goodness.
The water in the front is coming up to the bottom of the seat, like almost to my knees. The back seat's underwater. And finally, the rear tires catch, and it starts jerking,
yeah.
jerking. The boat got banged up a little bit from me knocking it off to the side. The trailer's way back there. But I start, and then it starts to grab. And then finally the front tires get out of the lake and get onto the concrete. Then it grabs a little bit more. But it's still, it's heavy. I've got a pickup bed full of water. There's a ton of water, literally a ton of water in the back of my truck. Oh, my
goodness.
Not to mention the inside of the truck that's full of water.
Yeah.
Because it all came in the driver's door.
And there's still a trailer attached.
Yeah, and a trailer in the back. So I finally get out, and then I pull up onto the ramp, and I'm like, oh, my, thank God. And I put it in park, and I'm like, I did it. I saved it. And no one's around. No one even saw this. I'm like, whew, that was almost a disaster. I thought at the time, I almost sunk my truck and totaled my truck.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was that guy that the truck, but I saved the day.
So we're at this point. Did you go fishing after this?
Yeah.
Did you still?
Of course I did. I caught 25 bluegill.
How do you switch your mindset? I'd have been done. That'd have been it. I'd have gone home.
Well, I thought
about it. I'd left the boat fucking floating in the lake.
Right, I'm done.
I'm done. I'd have pulled out off the ramp and drove home, and the boat would have left and just stayed there.
Not only did I continue fishing, did I end up going fishing and being pretty successful. I got a freezer full of bluegill fillets from it.
How nervous were you to pull back down there to get that boat out?
I have every single time I've moved my truck since then, I stare at the gear shifter 25 times to make sure it's actually in park every time I get out. But so then I'm like, okay, now my truck is still full of water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like on the ramp, and I'm like, okay, I saved it. Like I finally, like, sense of relief. I saved it. And now I need to get the water out of my truck. So I get out the door and I open the back door and just, you know, fish and seaweed and shit are flowing out of the back of my truck.
Is that how you caught the fish?
Yeah. Open the tailgate to let, because the truck was just slowly draining.
I
dumped all the water out, sitting there, and I'm just like catching my breath. I'm like, holy shit, that was fucking close. It was close. And so I close everything up and I jump back in the truck to go park. And I think for a minute, I'm like, I just need to get out of here. And then I thought, like, what are you going to, it's 7 o'clock at night. There's nothing I can do at this point. Like, it's just kind of my mindset. It's like, okay, well, that happened and that's over now. And so I'm going to go fishing.
I mean, that's a good way to think about it, because you're right. Nothing, I mean, you're at a point that it's like, nothing's going to fix this now.
Right, yeah. So I jump back in the truck, and I go to close my driver's side door, and I can't find my door.
Oh, excuse me?
I reach up, I'm like, what the hell? And it was still attached. But then, like, it came back to me. The time when I banged my leg and was scraping my knees, there was a loud noise.
Uh-huh.
There was a little wooden post at the end of the boat launch that when I had swung the door open, it caught just the corner of my door.
Oh, no.
And bent it forward. So I drive up into the parking spot with my door facing completely folded forward. Drive up, park my truck, and I'm still just sitting there. Just try not to lose my temper. Like, okay. All right. So your door's messed up. You got insurance. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. So then I decide again, you know, at this point, why not go fishing? Fuck it. By the way, mind you, only time in my life I've ever gone to the lake without a cooler full of beer. Normally, I like to listen to podcasts, drink a couple cold beers, and go fishing.
Oh, my goodness.
But because I was in the middle of my three-day cleanse, so I haven't had any food for 3 days, all I had with me was a bottle of water. So that was probably a good thing. But so I get out, and I try to close my door, and I'm literally like, to bend it back forward and get it to where it will swing, and then it hits and goes dunk, like it had bent enough to where the striker plate and the catch weren't lining up. I'm like, fuck this. I'm going fishing, and I figure out that I can lift up on it and get it to latch. So I sat there for a minute and was like, well, like I said, nothing I can do, so I'm going to go fishing. So I went out. Went fishing, had a ball, almost forgot. I was catching so many fish, I almost forgot about my wrecked truck. But so I leave thinking, again, I have saved the day.
Mm-hmm.
I rescued my truck. I fucked my door up, but that'll get fixed and everything's going to be fine. Next day, I call my insurance and file a claim. They call me on Friday and say, okay, we have an adjuster. We'll call you on Monday. Will come out or Tuesday, whenever it was. And so then yesterday, which was Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
Mind you, in the meantime, I've taken my truck in those hot, steamy days we had, took all the floor mats out, opened the doors, let it dry out, and it did. It dried out. It's still a little bit of an odor to it. There was like seaweed under my seats and shit. There was actually a lily pad in my back seat.
Oh my goodness.
But you know, that was like all through the weekend. Like I dried it out. I shop vacced it. And so now it's like it's down to just the door.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday morning, I get a call, and the insurance adjuster says you're going to come out, and they tell me the process. I was like, do I need to get an estimate? He's like, you can, or we'll just come out and we'll do an estimate, and then you know, you tell us which shop you want to go to, and we'll mail them the check, and they'll take it. And then if there's more work that needs to be done, we'll just pay them the rest of it.
Okay.
I'm like, cool. So they call about 10 o'clock yesterday morning. The adjuster comes out, younger dude, and he's like, hey, what's up, man? You know, and looks at my truck, and he's like, all right, so what happened to it? And I tell him a short version of the story I just told you. And he's like, oh, this professional insurance adjuster, his exact words to me were, oh, dude, we don't fuck around with water. I was like, pardon me? What do you mean you don't fuck around with water? He's like, yeah, auto owners has a rule, man. If you get water like covering the floor, like they total it. I'm like, total it? What do you mean total it? It needs a door.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly good. I mean, I take good care. My truck is immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got you know, oversized tires and a lift on the front. I love my fucking truck. And he's like, I don't know, man. He said, let me go in and punch some numbers in and make some calls. And he goes in his car and he's clickety clacking around. And he comes back out and he's like, well, good news, it's good news and bad news. Bad news is they're totaling your truck. The good news is that it's worth, you know, a couple grand more than you owe on it. So you're going to get your truck paid off and have a few thousand dollars to end up being like three or whatever to put down towards a new truck. And I'm like, that's not good news.
I don't want a new truck.
I don't want a new truck. I want my truck.
Oh.
And he's like, I'm sorry, man. They say all the electronics run through the floorboards.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, they've just had too many experiences of, you know, they fix the door and then a month later you call and your power windows don't work or your radio starts malfunctioning or the airbags don't work. And they just, as he said, they don't fuck around with water.
Mm-hmm.
So because there was water on the floor, and mind you, it wasn't, if I hadn't told him that, it would have been fine because it had dried up.
Yeah.
It was dry by then. But because I told him that, and he's like, yeah, that's it. Sign that I so why he's – now, mind you, I love my truck. For those of you – if any of you are truck people, I had a 2013 Ford F-150 FX4. It's a super cab with a short bed and 33-inch tires with a front-end leveling kit. It's all blacked out, all tinted out. It's my baby. The truck is my baby. And so I'm like just reeling from him telling me. And then I asked him too. I asked if, I was like, can I buy it back? Like, like, can you, if you guys total it, can I buy it back? And then I'll just fix it and keep it. You know, and he's like, well, you can. They would look at it. But then he said the salvage value was like $6,000 for it.
Hmm.
Which the way the math worked out, by the time I paid the loan off, paid to have it fixed, I would have had to come up with about $6,000 out of pocket when this is over with.
Yeah.
And the truck has 150,000 miles on it. And then I'm like, well, is there something to this electrical thing? Do I really want to mess with it? But I said, well, can I have a couple days to decide what I want to do? And he's like, oh, they'll call you today, but you can do that. And I'm like, all right. So I come walking out to my office. He's still in my driveway. My phone rings and I answer it. And it's a salvage company calling to schedule a time to come take my truck. He's still here.
Yeah.
Like, apparently, like, when he puts in the computer, it just goes to the salvage. I'm just like, I haven't had time to process this yet.
I need time.
I'm like, I can't do this right now. And they're like, well, we just need to know when we can. I was like, I just, give me a fucking minute. Yeah. Like, you've taken my truck. What am I going to do? Then, you know, just the way my mind works, just like when I went fishing, I'm like, okay, shitty situation. Let's dig our way out of this. They're taking my fucking truck. I need to get another truck. So I need to find out what my options are. So like within 30 minutes, I call the bank and I'm like, hey, this is what's happening. They're going to total the truck and pay that off. I need to get another truck. I don't know how that works. Like, do I need to wait till that one is all cleared and paid off and take it? Because and that was not going to work, by the way, because the process would be they take my truck. And then they hold the money until I send them the title. And then when they get the title, then they'll clear the funds up. Then they'll send me the money. Meanwhile, I have no vehicle. But she's like, nope. This is the nice part about working with a credit union. Mm-hmm. You know, they know you and they work, you know, they work with you. She's like, no, it's fine. Well, I'll just put a notation on this account. Don't make any more payments on that, which I don't have a payment due, so it's not going to be an issue. But don't make any more payments on that. And, you know, how much you want to spend on a truck? And I was like, you know, I told her a number range.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, all right, I'm sending you over a pre-approval letter and just go get you another truck. I'm like, okay. Well, then I have a buddy that owns a car dealership. Like, call him up and I'm like, I need a vehicle. Do you have any, you know, anything good? Somebody. I was not in a position to go haggle with somebody, and I knew the Doug would give me a fair deal on something. And I told him I want the same truck, basically, and this is my price range. So he set me up with somebody, went in, and then I had to, I'm continuing to try to check my ego, because I go, again, mine was a 2013, 150,000 some miles on it. And so they show me, here is the exact same truck, different color. It's gunmetal instead of black, but it is a 2017 and only has 50,000 miles on it. And it's less than I paid for my truck when I bought it.
Nice.
And I'm like, sweet. And brand new tires, immaculate condition, all leather interior, you know, all that. It's just, but it has small stock tires on it. It doesn't have the leveling kit on the front of it. And therefore it looks like something my grandfather would drive.
Well, just keep your ego there.
It was, dude, I mean, I spent a couple hours there yesterday looking at, because they had another truck that looked just like mine. It was maroon. But other than that, it was the same thing, you know, with it's not a lift, just a leveling kit and bigger tires. And I'm just like, oh, how about that one? It's like, well, it's only $1,000 more, but it's a year older and it's got 80,000 miles. I'm like, but I like that one better. I like it a lot better. And then I had to, like, what are you trying to, who are you trying to impress? This truck is clearly a better deal.
Yeah.
And it'll last longer. So long story short, I bought, and then for hunting and stuff, I've been looking to get a cap to put on the back of my truck, a capper over the bed.
I'm glad you got one of those.
I am too. But it just adds to the grandpa effect, you know, because, you know, I want, like when we're traveling to Wyoming to hunt, to be able to, you know, when we're out hiking, to put all our gear in the back and lock it up, you know, and keep it out of the weather. And they did me a great, Campbell Ford, Niles, they're awesome, did a great deal. And they made some calls for me and found somebody that had one that was a canceled order that was the exact match to my truck, even the color. Got me like a great deal on that, put it on the back. But so then I roll home with what literally now looks like my grandpa's truck as it's low to the ground, the cap on the back, the whole nine, looks nothing like, and my kids all come out and Bella's like, I like the other one better. Like, I used to like it when you picked me up in that one because it's a cool looking truck. That's not cool.
That's not cool.
So I don't know. Someday I may put some bigger tires and stuff. Because the funny thing is, you set them next to each other and they look like they don't look anything alike, but they're actually the exact same truck. The only difference is tires and some other accessories on it.
Cosmetics.
So that's my story.
Wow. That was better than I expected. I didn't know what to expect, but that's better than I expected. Because I can just imagine you out there swimming by yourself.
Can you imagine if somebody was watching?
I wish somebody was watching.
I almost wish somebody videotaped it. Mm-hmm. Like, especially once I was in the truck and my truck is sinking while I'm trying to pull out of there. And the fact that I didn't even notice that my door almost got ripped off the hinges.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's adrenaline. It's hyper focus. So, that's my amusing story. We're talking about some sad shit.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to move forward to rebuilding America. Is that what we're going to say?
I guess so. We put it. I don't know, man. It's just, it's rough right now. Because every issue has, not every issue, some of them don't have two sides, but a lot of the issues have two sides to them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this, the tearing down of all these statues?
You know, I go both ways on it. I really, like, I see both sides. You know, these statues they're tearing down are usually Confederate, we'll say war heroes, quote unquote.
Some of them, yeah.
Some of them, right.
Which honestly, that, I mean, I have no, I don't get, I mean, I'm a Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. And we fought to abolish slavery and, you know, so yeah, I see why you don't want those statues there.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I get why you don't want those, I mean. They're showing the oppression. They're showing the slavery.
Right.
But then I see the other side, and I think of the history. You know, that's a big thing for
right.
me. And I think the statues don't bother me. Like, the removing of the statues don't bother me as much as the people that have said they want to go into the museums and remove the Confederate items from the museum, which I think is absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, the other side of it with me with the Confederate stuff is I don't think it's smart to whitewash our history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I get the point. You know, us standing here today to say we don't want statues that are celebrating slavery,
mm-hmm.
which we don't, obviously. Yeah. But it's something that you would expect to happen in, like, communist China or with Kim Jong-un in Korea, completely wiping, or Nazi Germany, wiping the history books, changing history.
Mm-hmm.
So as though these things never happen. Like, I think that, and again, I don't get to have really an opinion as a white guy, you know, but I'm just, my observation as a complete outsider to the situation, because I don't want those statues. I don't have those statues, but I also mm-hmm. wasn't, you know, my heritage wasn't affected by
yeah.
any of that. But it's like, don't we want to, if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I feel like there's a happy medium in there somewhere, but it's like we can't pretend, because then, like, what are we accomplishing?
Well,
for us to pretend like it never happened?
Like I said, I mean, I understand the removal of the statues, because like you said, they're glorifying mm-hmm. that time period. But when you start to go into museums and try right. to pull items out, I mean, like you said, you're whitewashing history.
Mm-hmm.
You're bound to repeat it if you do that. I mean, there's no reason to go in there. That would be, you know, going to Germany and saying that the Nazis never happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying Auschwitz never happened. You know, all these things. Like at Penn State, what was that, 2012, with the Jerry Sandusky and Joe Paterno and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Jerry Sandusky was removed from everything. They had murals that had him painted.
Right.
They painted over him. Absolutely. You cannot glorify that
right.
demon, but you cannot pretend that he did not exist, because right. then all those victims do not get their justice.
Right. And this is, and it's a good point. It's a similar place where it's hard to be on the outside. And I hope people realize, and I'm sure a large portion of you that are listening, how difficult it is. We were just discussing this earlier today, how difficult it is to be an outsider and to have an opinion right mm-hmm. now. It's very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, daily I'll have conversations and you don't know what to say. You don't know what you're allowed to say, mm-mm. you know?
It's to me, it's not even like what to say. It's about what opinions you harbor.
Well, yeah, because I know that deep down in my heart that I'm a very kind person, a very open person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have ill will. Like, I have no ill will towards anybody.
I'm not a big fan of that adjuster, but other than
but you have no idea on a daily basis what is going to trigger somebody
mm-hmm.
that doesn't, you know, we had a conversation earlier where you had mentioned the case we're working on in Truth and Justice. There is an adopted daughter.
Right.
And someone was triggered by the fact that you called her the adopted daughter.
Right.
And in this day and age, it just happens over and over. You have no clue what is allowed to be said or what opinions are, you know. You didn't say anything negative about that person or
right.
any reason. You know, you were being descriptive as to who that person was. But now that you've triggered somebody and you're being targeted by it because of this.
Yeah. And to be fair, in that situation, the people that had issue with it were for the most part kind about it. But yeah, it was, you know, I host an audio show. It's not TV, so you don't learn a character. So I have to use in that example, you know, I use descriptors a lot, so people keep characters straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't say Dr. Pirwani, I say the medical examiner, Dr. Pirwani. I don't say Dr. Ambers, I say the DNA expert, Dr. Ambers.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's two daughters, that, you know, the differentiating character, you know, splitting one character from the other. One is the daughter and one is the, by the way, this woman was adopted when she was 21. It was an adult married with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a legal thing. But that, so I had said was the adopt, you know, Brenda, the adopted daughter, just to remind everybody, because I hadn't talked about her in a couple episodes. But like that, I won't say got me in trouble, but I mean, it's close. It's difficult we talked about earlier, like just opinions, you know, like if you could say everything gets stretched so far. So it's like, say you say, I am a Joe Biden supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to a point where someone be like, well, oh, you're a Joe Biden supporter? Well, in 2012, Joe Biden said that he's opposed to gay marriage. So you're a homophobe.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate you because you're a homophobe. And it was like, no, you just had an opinion about, you know, and a lot of it's justified and a lot of it's not. But it gets really deep. So anyway,
the same thing goes as far as like, you know, myself and you too. But a lot of people know I'm pro-gun. I shot professionally for several years.
Mm-hmm.
But that automatically makes me right-wing Trump supporter. Now I'm a racist. Now, and that's the furthest from the truth, but that's just how those slight opinions can be skewed so quickly.
Right. Yeah. So it's tough. And like I said, it's kind of an aside to what we're talking about, but just to point out that if you listening or watching this, that, you know, anything we say, we're certainly not trying to be offensive to anyone, but it's hard to be an outsider and have these discussions. Because, you know, another part of that is, you know, for me as that outsider, I feel like we should not whitewash history. The statues, yeah, get them down. A statue of you know, a Confederate general that was fighting for, you know, to keep slaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think you should memorial, but I don't think you should write them out of the history books. You know, I don't think that it should be taken out of a museum where we can learn how our country got. You know, the people forget how, you know, and a lot of times, like what it took to get where we're at now. We're living right now in an age that will be written about in history books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if things are changing, and if something massive does change, then this will be the catalyst to get us there. But then we have also you're seeing where people are tearing down statues of, say, George Washington, and some other, you know, figures like that. But like, let's look at George Washington specifically. And I suppose, and I apologize, I'm not the best at this history, but you know, it's because he was a slave owner back in the 1700s, you know, when he became our president.
Mm-hmm.
So they're tearing him down. But it's like there's a term that I've heard thrown around called presentism.
Okay. What is, define that for me, or explain that, what that is, because I don't know what that is.
It's where you judge someone's actions from a different time based on the present knowledge and mindset.
Okay.
So, for example, this is a perfect example of this. Joe Biden, Barack Obama.
Okay.
Through Obama's entire first term and going into his second, so we're talking just 8 years ago now, 2012, both Obama, it's actually in our intro. If you listen to the audio intro, you hear a clip mixed in with all those of Joe Biden said, neither me nor Barack Obama support changing what defines marriage. They were anti same-sex marriage. Later, they've come around, you know, and now they are pro same-sex marriage and equality. I mean, we, you know, the Supreme Court, you know, made it legal for same-sex marriage, you know, during the Obama presidency. But at that, so it would be like looking at where we're at now, where even, you know, as much as people were, you know, afraid that Trump was a homophobe and that he was going to try to undo gay marriage, which none of that's happened. So like even the people who thought that he was really bad in that opinion has now come around. You don't ever hear him say anything about that. There's no, you know, and it's just, it is what it is now. It's generally, there are people obviously still that fight against it, but it's something that in today's knowledge and mindset, it is generally accepted that anyone can marry whoever they want. You know,
I think the biggest scare with that was Pence. Wasn't Trump necessarily, was Pence, because Pence was so against it.
Right.
I mean, and
ultra religious. And
maybe we know that more because we live right here. We live right next to Indiana and, you know, knowing everybody from Indiana. But, you know, Pence was one of those, like, you could send him to the anti-gay camp guys, you know, like that's.
Right. But this is what I'm talking about with presentism is Obama and Biden were the same as him back then. But it would be like going back to and judging Biden for the fact that he was anti-gay marriage in 2012 because of today's standards. Now, it's not the best example because he's since turned that around.
Yeah.
But that's just like, with, I mean, a bunch of these politicians. I guarantee you half or more of the people back then that were saying they were opposed to gay marriage actually didn't give a shit. They were just trying to pander to a base. That's why I hate our fucking political party system. I hate the way our government's run in general. And then once it became unpopular, they switched. And who knows what they actually think about any of it. But that's – so what I'm talking about here, like with George Washington, like he's tricky because he wasn't a Confederate general. I mean, he fought for us through the Revolutionary War to gain our independence from Great Britain. He was our first president, and but he was also a slave owner, which obviously we're all – nobody wants slaves. We all know how horrible and wrong that was. But – is it fair now that we know that to go back 200 years in history when it was generally accepted then at that time and say, does the fact that he owned those slaves in a time where most people did, that everything good that he ever did should be wiped out and forgotten about? And I'm not saying I know the answer to it. I'm just saying, but that is an example to me of presentism. We're putting today's views onto someone's actions that occurred 200 years prior to these views. Not even 200, you know, the civil, would go back to Civil War, so 100 years before anybody thought about abolishing slavery was when this is happening.
Tough concept. It really is a tough concept.
And we see in that presentism things, we see it. We see it all the time now. You know, Howard Stern's going through something right now because he had done a – his deal was he was like on The View or somewhere and he said that he had never said the N-word. And then they showed some skit that he had done back in like 1993.
Yeah.
It was like a sketch on like Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson where he was using the N-word repeatedly in the sketch.
Well, and Jimmy Kimmel's going through that right now. You know, he did a sketch years ago where he was portraying a black basketball player.
Oh, he did the Karl Malone blackface stuff all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, is distasteful, but it was a comedian trying, you know, and I'm not standing up for him. I don't really care for Jimmy Kimmel, but it's just, I feel like it's the same thing you're talking about now that he's being...
It's the idea of... And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's what it is. It's presentism. Because at the time, in the, what was it, late 90s, early 2000s when he was on The Man Show... And he was doing that as a regular sketch. No one had a problem with it then.
Yeah, no one said a word about it.
No, because you know it was you know, I think probably back then he wasn't thinking that he's doing blackface. You know, like the very
he's portraying Karl Malone. He's portraying a specific person.
He's in costume, and they did makeup to make him look like the person, which included darkening his skin. But now you look at it, you know, now you jump 20 years later, 25 years later, and then you look at, could someone get away with that now?
No way.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about when I say presentism. So, but then we're going back to something that was, you know, with Howard Stern in the early 90s with that sketch and with Jimmy Kimmel in the late 90s, you know, doing the makeup to be Karl Malone and putting that on. It's just, it's hard, man. It's I do not envy any celebrities, particularly comedians, who are you know, because you know by their nature, most comedians, you know, they're edgy. They're they're trying to push the envelope. They're trying to get a laugh by saying something shocking.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, like I said, it could be, you know, the Jimmy Kimmel thing was distasteful, you know, but at the time, no one thought about it. And the same thing with comedians, you know, they'll say some pretty distasteful things, but in 20 years, if you hold them to what they said. As a joke, you know, it's tough.
My hero, Steve Rinella, has a great way of looking at some of that stuff. He says every time somebody says, well, you used to think this and now you think this. And he said, yeah, I used to shit my pants too. But I don't I used to think it was cool to shit in a diaper and I don't do that anymore.
That's a good point.
You know, you grow and you – but then it's – I mean, some things are unforgivable, especially – but to me, it's like, where's the intent? Was Jimmy Kimmel's intent – I'm not a fan of Jimmy Kimmel for the sole reason that I think that he's a hypocrite. You know, he lost me during, you know, through all the scandals in the, you know, during Judge Kavanaugh's hearings with the woman that had accused him of sexual assault and all that. And he just went on this tirade, using his platform to go on a tirade about disrespecting women, whitewashing his own history of, you know, just go back and watch him on The Man Show. You know, he was the one at the end of every episode going, and now it's time for girls jumping on trampolines. And it, and again, I'm not trying to apply that presentism to him and say, you know, I'm not mad at him because he did that back then. And no one seemed to have a problem with it back then. What's frustrating to me is then to turn around and then start judging and condemning other people, not just Kavanaugh, which that was, you know, an alleged sexual assault, but but, you know, anybody for not respecting women and ignoring the, it'd be different if he said, listen, I've been there, I've done this stuff, but I've learned my lesson and I've grown. I don't shit in a diaper anymore. I've grown.
Yeah.
But to act like that never happened and now I'm on my soapbox and high horse, that's when I lost him, is not that he was condemning the action, but that he was pretending that he hadn't done the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, and you talk about someone's actions and how you feel about them. You know, this week in history, we'll say, saw what we thought was a big national hate crime portrayed against a NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it made national news. It was a huge deal. And then come to find out, it may not be what it seems.
Yeah. And let's preface this by saying that this story broke this morning, the day we're recording this, and you're going to hear it a week later. So who knows how this will shake out.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's talking about Bubba Wallace, the only African American NASCAR driver in the top circuit of NASCAR.
Yeah.
And I'm not a NASCAR fan, so I don't know much about it. But this really seems like this is what happened basically. It came out that in the mid, you know, and he's very outspoken for Black Lives Matter, and he was a big proponent to get the Confederate flag taken out of NASCAR. He's got his car painted with Black Lives Matter, which is all awesome, by the way. But the idea was that did that make him a target against, you know, the, and I'm using air quotes if you're listening, the, you know, those redneck hillbilly NASCAR drivers, because he goes back into his garage and finds a noose in his garage.
Well, this is the garage they assigned him at Talladega.
Right.
So this isn't just like his garage. This is a, an accessed by anybody, well, not by anybody, but any NASCAR team garage at Talladega, which I believe is Alabama, right?
Yeah.
It's in Alabama.
Yeah. So in reaction to that, it was great to see the reaction, really. You had the, you know, the other drivers.
Well, so without, it hasn't been said yet, but he reported that there was a noose found hung in his garage stall.
That somebody put it there to intimidate
him. To intimidate him, yes.
Right. So, the, you know, and the reaction from NASCAR and from the other NASCAR drivers was huge support. The entire NASCAR field, all of the drivers, all of the white guys that are driving, you know, at the next race, marched to, they actually pushed his car down the track to get it to the starting line or the, whatever it was, and marched with him and stood with him, and everybody was this big thing that, you know, that. And then the Department of Justice and the FBI came in to investigate him, and NASCAR wasn't fucking around. This is a, you know, a hate crime. People are trying to intimidate this man because, not only because he's African American in the sport, but he's so outspoken for Black Lives Matter. And it was kind of cool to see how much support there was to it. And then today the reports came out that, I mean, basically the whole thing was bullshit. The noose hanging in the garage was the pull down cord for the garage door.
Yeah.
And it took the FBI, I don't know, 20 minutes to investigate, to look at pictures of that same garage door for years and see that same rope with it. And it's got maybe a 4-inch loop, enough you could fit your hand in.
Yeah.
At the bottom. And it's not a, you know, a noose is a slip knot. It's not a slip knot. It's just a rope with a loop in the end for people to pull the garage door down, and it's been there for years, and it was turned into this massive, huge national news story, and there was nothing to it.
And you can't fully blame Bubba. You know what I mean? Like, if he's never had that that stall, whatever it is. He doesn't know it's there, but you think somebody could have came out before this and right. said that it wasn't.
I have a hard, I don't know the guy. I don't know. And as much as I just related to you is as much as I know the story. Mm-hmm. So without passing any judgment.
And I think a lot of it is that knee-jerk reaction like we talked about.
Uh-huh.
Like he saw this, it's a knee-jerk reaction to say something now because of the state of our country. And then it immediately gets taken to the next level because of it.
I just feel like, and again, without, who knows, without passing any judgment, it's mm-hmm. like, man, how do you look? I've seen the pictures and the video, like, how could he have legitimately looked at that? First of all, it's not a noose. Second of all, it looks nothing like a noose.
Mm-hmm.
Third of all, it's a small piece of rope that could never be used as a noose.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to been, it was in an auto garage that's been there for years. It had to been covered in grease and dirt and it's tied to a garage door. Like, I just have a really hard time believing that he looked at that and legitimately thought someone hung a noose up here to intimidate me.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem with it is, if that's the case, like it does damage. Mm-hmm. It does damage to a legitimate movement.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Is coming from a white guy that, you know, I'm very supportive. I want the equality. I want it there. But all this is giving it a black eye.
It's giving
this new movement a black eye, saying that you know you're just trying to cause drama. You're trying
this
to
this is
start
the kind
something.
Of fake bullshit that blah mm-hmm. blah blah that you're. And what it does is it gives the other side talking points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what's so disgusting about all this. You know, throughout this, and here's some things that you can take and shove right up your ass. Okay, not you specifically.
Oh, you are looking at me.
Yeah,
so.
But you know, when people will talk about Black Lives Matter, and then somebody wants to spit some facts, you know, they want to throw some. Well, there were, you know, 238 African Americans that were killed by police last year, but there was 400 white people that were killed by police. So this is why. Who? What about the White Lives Matter? They killed more white people than black people. Distract from, and by the way, those numbers, if you've seen them, from what I've been able to tell, they're accurate. Mm-hmm. There are more white people killed by black people every year by a small percentage. What they don't put with that statistic is the fact that there are 13% of the people in our country are African American and 76% are white.
Mm-hmm. So the actual percentage isn't the same.
Yeah, if you look at per capita, mm-hmm. it sways way back the other way.
Yeah,
but it doesn't. You know, regardless, it doesn't matter. It's that, and people say, well, so many people die by it. It's Black Lives Matter, but what about all the black on black crime?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they love to throw statistics up and say, look, you know, so there was whatever the 238 African American people were killed by police officers last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, but 20,000 African American people were killed by African Americans in violent crimes this year. I'm making that number up, whatever that number is.
Yeah.
You know, so why don't their lives matter? And that's what I'm getting at is there's already the people who are opposing progress
mm-hmm.
are already using tools like that at their disposal. Because the fact of the matter is, again, whatever I do not know what the number is, but it is significantly higher.
Mm-hmm.
A number of people of color are killed by other people of color every year than the number that are killed by police officers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. But one has nothing to do with the other.
Mm-hmm.
But they use it as a distraction. They use anything they can use to distract from the focus and the issues that are at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have is we have two problems. We have police brutality and police discrimination and bias towards black people. And then we also have a problem with, and I don't call it black on black crime. I would just say, especially in impoverished communities, mm-hmm. we have, you know, violent crimes that are happening
yeah.
all the time. But these are separate issues.
I would go back and listen to episode 28 with Jordan Geiger from Black Lives Matter.
Right.
I think he explained it very eloquently as to the fact that it's not just that. It is Black Lives Matter. It doesn't matter who's taking their lives.
Right.
It's the fact that Black Lives Matter. And we talk about, you just said it, being impoverished, and he mm-hmm. talked about that.
Right.
That there's violent crimes here because they have nothing to do, because their communities aren't being taken care of.
Right. And there's also just some bad people out there too.
Absolutely.
You know, that would kill, you know, that would kill no matter what,
mm-hmm.
or commit violent crimes no matter what, whether they had money or not. But what I'm getting is they're different issues. Just because there's also another issue over here and another problem doesn't mean this one is less important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, this one is manageable.
Yeah.
These are government employees in power who can be mandated how they respond
mm-hmm.
to go into a community where it's, you know, there's issues, whether it's a white community, a black community, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
whatever that community is, that's to get control over that, you know, to try to remedy that problem is a very difficult task.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably has a lot more, it would have a lot more benefit with the like community peacekeepers and things like Jordan was talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, as part of the defund the police movement, are going to help that better than the police are. But this we can control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this problem, we shouldn't have police officers discriminating against anyone. And it's not just the shootings and the killings. It's everything from stop and frisk to the, you know, I'm so glad right now, it's discouraging to see, but like if you scroll through like TikTok, which I don't
have TikTok. I won't get it.
You'll get addicted. It's time suck.
You can call me Grandpa Weaver.
Right. But everybody is like everybody's filming cops all the mm-hmm. time now. And they're putting them up on TikTok. And mm-hmm. it's like, it's upsetting to see the shit that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, good. Put it, because to me, it's a deterrent.
Yeah.
You know, it's a deterrent. So it used to be, if you do something bad, you know, it used to be no one would ever know.
Yeah.
And then smartphones became a thing. And then it was like, if you do something bad, hopefully no one catches on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the body cams, and it was more likely to, but they could shut those off. But you still had to worry about the cell phones. And now I hope any officer that would consider doing anything like that knows, like, it's going to be on camera.
Mm-hmm.
People are filming everything, traffic stops, whatever. They're turning their cameras on and filming it and putting it out there. And I would hope that would lead to an officer thinking twice
mm-hmm.
before they would, you know, if they were thinking about doing something bad, to know, like, I'm done.
Yeah.
In 2020, I'm done. Mm-hmm. If I do whatever I'm thinking about doing. And so hopefully it would deter that from happening.
Yeah, that whole police movement, I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's what it is, you know,
right.
And you see all races doing it,
mm-hmm.
which is important. I think that's huge. I mean,
yeah.
It shows that we're together in this.
Yeah, it's holding, you know, again, I'm a supporter of police who are doing their job right, but at the same time, they're government employees. They need to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, literally our taxes are paying, we're paying for them to be out there to do that job. Just do it right.
Yeah.
Do your job right, you know, And to jump back to Bubba Wallace, so that's my problem is now it frustrates me. It's like a feel when we finally try to get some traction and try to make something happen. It's like now it's going to be like, oh, you're making XYZ claim. Oh, just like Bubba Wallace, you know, mm-hmm. oh, the nuisance is it. And I get probably as we're sitting here, the internet is being filled with memes, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure of it as well.
Yeah, probably with him and Jesse Smollett.
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
From Chicago. Yeah.
Yep. I'm sure that it's becoming a joke mm-hmm. and it's a distraction. So that's what frustrates me. If maybe it was an honest mistake, if it wasn't, shame on him.
Mm-hmm.
If it was not an honest mistake, and it's not because, oh, they accused somebody of something that they didn't do, it's because you just distracted for what you were fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's going to be talking about that you had this fake story about a noose being in your garage. So it's, I don't know. It's just frustrating. I know I have a hard out in about 9 minutes.
Okay.
But one thing we were going to talk about today, and I guess we'll just touch on it. Maybe we can see what listeners think on through social media. I don't know how to talk about it or how to handle it, but another thing that's happening through all this are these autonomous zones, the CHAZ or CHOP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so are there multiple? Because I've only they talk about multiple, but I've only seen actually one, which is the one in Seattle.
Yeah, so the one in Seattle was they were calling it CHAZ, which was the Capitol Hill, which I thought was a reference to the White House, but actually Capitol Hill is a area of Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I got from what I was reading, it's an area that is known to be very open-minded, LGBTQ friendly. Trying to think of some of the terminology. Anyway, it's this part of Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and there were protests there, and then the protesters and the police were battling, and then eventually the police abandoned the precinct, and then everybody's pointing fingers. the mayor said that the police chief had to abandon the precinct, and then the police chief came on and said we didn't have to abandon anything the mayor ordered us to, and there's all this back and forth.
You know, and I don't know what to believe. I've read some stories about it. You know, you read the one side is saying that it's this violent takeover, and then it's the police were forced out, and then the other side is saying we're not violent. We're, you know, nothing bad is happening. You know, this is peaceful. We're just taking our city back. But then you find out that there's murders occurring.
Yeah.
You know, I have no clue what to believe.
Probably both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people were describing it as like a street festival atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then some were peaceful but they kept putting up barriers saying the police are not, they took over the precinct when the police, they didn't like violently take over the police. The police, whoever's order that was, eventually backed out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the protesters put up barricades and declared this an autonomous zone, a police-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we are going to live in our – it's like they made their own little – and it extended from one block to three blocks to six blocks. I think it might have gone to eight or ten, and then they backed it back down.
But see, here's where I become super ignorant on the situation, and I'll say this. Like, it's a government-free zone. That's what it means. It's a government-free zone. Mm-hmm. So are you seceding from the country? Like, what are you doing? Isn't that like a terrorist takeover of your country? Like, I mean, I'm not saying it is. Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
it's not. It's you know, they basically, the police, there was a lot of violence and things happening, and fighting against the police. Police ended up pulling back, and they established, then they said, you're not allowed back in here. Which the mayor and the police chief, you know, kind of succumbed to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've listed demand. There's like 30 demands, you know, and it's everything from one of them being they want to abolish the police department, and they want funding for communities. Some of the stuff that Jordan was talking about. They want anyone that was arrested for a marijuana crime to be released and their records expunged. They want mandatory retrials for all black violent offenders who have been convicted. It was like this long, long list of, and it's like, we'll give you, you know, we will let you back into this zone if you meet these demands. But when I say it's been both, what you're talking about, like there are peaceful protests and things that are happening there, but also at the same time, there is, you know, there's violence happening. The same thing, there are always going to be opportunists that are sliding into situations for somebody that may be well-meaning. I'm sure there are people in there that are well-meaning. There are also people in there that are like, no cops, do whatever I want. I'm going to break into stores. I'm going to loot. I'm going to burn shit down.
Mm-hmm.
There's been shootings. And as of today, actually, just this morning, so again, we'll see how this shakes out by next week, the mayor and police chief said they're taking it back. Because people are getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
There's been shootings. I know for sure that I read 100% that I read for sure that there was a shooting and at least one dead.
Yeah.
Within the autonomous zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, is everyone that resides within that zone, do they want to be a part of it? Or they're like, no, I want the police. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's strange too. And the one thing I did see about that was they did say that they were going to go move back into the area, but they weren't going to use forceful takeover.
Right, which I don't know what that means because a lot of those people are armed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people. I just watched somebody being interviewed last night. There was, you know, holding a 12-gauge shotgun around his neck.
Yeah.
You know, or like a strap around his chest. And
mm-hmm. you know, but again, I mean, I don't know what to believe because who knows what the media is really presenting.
Right.
That's my biggest scare with all the media.
All the media is swayed one side or the other.
Well, and the reason I say that is, you know, are they armed or did they find one lunatic that had a gun? And decide to interview that guy.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying, yeah. Again, yeah, both.
You know,
there are people in there armed. There's video, clear video of people with arm, but it's not like everyone in there is armed. It's not an armed force holding it. There are just some people in there with guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is what I mean. I just feel like this is, I pray and hope that it doesn't end in a complete disaster.
Me too.
But I don't know how things are going to go. That's it. I've got to make a phone call here in 3 minutes. So thank you guys all for listening and join us every week. We'll be back again next week. Zach, thanks for being my friend.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. See you guys. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@bobweavepod.com. And if you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.